for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday afternoon, July the 4th, 2003. Family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Diane Stone is the minister. Diane Stone and her husband have been part of our congregation here for quite a long while, and both of them are well able teachers of the Word. And the Lord's given Diane a teaching ministry. She's a tools teacher. She had a teaching ministry, secular, before the Lord started to lay this other ministry on her. So she's right at home doing this. All of us children here for her to teach.
Before I begin, I would truly like my husband to pray for me, please.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just come to you right now, Lord. Lord, opening up minds, hearts, and spirits, God. Right now, in the name of Jesus, that the anointing go forth, that it breaks the yoke. Lord, we come against every demonic force right now that it could press or change or move. In the mighty name of Jesus, we cancel it by the power and authority of Jesus Christ. We speak strength to Diane as she brings this forth. Lord God, because we know that the truth sometimes is hard. But Lord God, we need the scrapes, the skin deep, to where we can come fresh, new, and clean again. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen. As Brother Glenn said, I teach school. I teach elementary school. And so many times the school gets flack. We're supposed to do everything. We're supposed to teach these children all the moral things that they are supposed to know. We can't do that. I want to tell you today that it is not our responsibility to teach these children all of the moral things that they need to know. I am there. I'm a remedial math teacher. It is my job to teach them remedial math. However, I do realize that I am to set an example for these children through my life. But you as parents, as grandparents, and as the church, I want to charge you today that it is your responsibility and our responsibility to teach some of these things. When I was a little girl, my parents were very moral people. They took me to church. I loved my parents. I was always safe. But it's not like that today. And even back then, my parents, when I would ask questions, they would spell words. Well, she's PG. Or this is S-E-X. You know, and they spell because I wasn't a very good speller. And a lot of times I didn't know what they were spelling anyway. But the point of it is that a lot of our parents did not know the scripture to teach. When we ask questions about certain subjects, or they avoided it. And so, therefore, we were not prepared to teach our children and our grandchildren the things that we needed to know. Therefore, today, on the news just a couple days ago, Walmart declared homosexuals could be hired and it was okay. We have a brother that is here from Canada, and he shared with me that it is now Canadian law that homosexual couples, it is okay. So therefore, think about it. If they come into your church, you have to receive them. You have to accept them. And if you don't, you would stand a possibility of getting sued and your church being taken from you. These are the kinds of times we live in. These are the kinds of things that are happening. And every day when students come to me, some of their little hearts are already crushed and broken when they come to school. They're in no state at all to learn math because they've had too many things happening before we ever get them in school. So I want to charge you today, as parents and as grandparents and as the church, to step up to the plate and teach these controversial subjects that have been avoided. in times past. Today, I want you first to turn. I'm going to give you a lot of scripture. It says, we don't have to turn to this. In Matthew, it says, freely you have received, freely give. And by the time I was 30, I had gone through many divorces. I was stressed out. I was hopeless. I was in despair. I had experienced a lot of these sexual sins that we're going to talk about today in my own life. And I was devastated. I didn't know what to do. And so I'm not up here to condemn, but I'm up here to tell you that Jesus is the answer and that you can be set free and don't leave today, no matter how old you are, young or old, don't leave here today until you have been set free. And I'm going to give you some scriptural basis for some of these sexual sins so that you will know when your children ask you things, you can say, well, let's sit down and let's talk about this. Let's see what the Word of God says about it. In Deuteronomy 4, 9 through 10, it says, only take heed to thyself and keep thyself diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. Now, you see, you teach your children, but it also says you teach your grandchildren. We had our little granddaughter for the last 2 weeks. And you see, you take this as a joy because you watch them. And you see things that are manifesting in their lives. You see generational curses that have come down through the bloodline, and you break those curses over them because, see, they haven't conceived yet. And if you break it before they conceive a child and their spouse is free from these curses, then the bloodline becomes pure. And that is what we are after, is a pure bloodline. And that is what I'm going to stress to you today. And also in Deuteronomy 4:40, it says, thou shalt keep therefore his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee this day, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee forever. By keeping the statutes, by keeping the commandments, this is how we have a long life. If we don't, we cut our life short. And you're going to see through these sexual sins, there are curses that come through the bloodline with them, and you also cut your life short unless you get them prayed off. Deuteronomy 6, 6 through 9 says, Deuteronomy 40, this one is Deuteronomy 6, 6 through 9, and it says, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Don't you see? We have to teach them continually. We can't let up for a moment, but we've got to have it in us in order to know what to tell these children. It says, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and thou shalt be as frontlets before thine eyes. It's written right across here in our minds. We are saturated with the Word of God. And as we are saturated with the Word of God, in everything we hear, everything we touch, everything we say, they will just see it in us. We can be natural. It doesn't have to be a fleshly thing. And as we get cleaned up in our lives, we're just there. And people can see Christ Jesus in you. You are abiding in Him. And that's what we're working for. And it says, and thou hast writ them upon the post of thy house and upon thy gates. And the gatepost is like all of our senses. It's written. We have no way that the enemy can come in and attack us. And that's what we want to work towards. That's what deliverance is all about, is to clean us up so that we can be those living Christ in everywhere we go. Okay, next scripture, Deuteronomy 11, 18 through 21. It says, "There shall you lie up these words in your heart." That means in your understanding in the scripture, if you look that up in Strong's. "And in your soul." That means every breath you take. "And bind them as a sign." It's like a flag that goes up. "Up on your hand." And your hand is all the service that you give out. In your fellowship, in your work, everything that your hand touches. "That they may be as frontlets before your eyes." See, we're just living Christ. We're saturated with the Word of God and with Christ within us. And it says, "And ye shall teach them your children." It doesn't say the school will teach your children. It doesn't say the babysitter will teach your children. It doesn't say any of that. It says you will teach your children. They are part of you. They are your seed. And this is the part of you that goes on forever. And the church is there to help and to uplift and to give these teachings that are needed through the fivefold ministry. And it says, "Speaking of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thy house and upon the gates, and your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children, and in the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers to give them as the days of heaven upon the earth." Okay, look at Exodus 34. Now what happens if we don't do that? If we don't take time to teach these children and these grandchildren the things that they need to know according to the Word of God. Exodus 34, verse 7, it says, that it's talking about God. It says, "Keeping mercy for thousands." It says, "Forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and the fourth generations." Our sins will affect our children and our grandchildren. The sins of our fathers, the sins of our grandparents have affected us all the way down to the third and the fourth generation. We are held responsible. So if you don't know what is said, you know, they say in the world, just because ignorance of the law is no excuse. In God's word, it's the same way. Ignorance of his law is no excuse. We are held responsible for it. And so look in Nehemiah 9. How serious are we about this? That is my question to you today. Back a long time ago, they were very serious about this. In Nehemiah 9, 2 and 3. Well, let's go up to verse 1. It says, "Now in the 20th and 4th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting." How much of us today fast regularly to the Lord? "And with sackcloth and earth upon them. The seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers." See, we ask forgiveness for our fathers, not only our own sins, but those of our fathers as well. And God will forgive them. And it says, "And they stand up in their place." Now listen to this. "And read in the book of the law of the Lord our God 1/4 part of the day." They didn't read just a little bitty old verse. They didn't read for 10 or 15 minutes in the morning, their little devotional book. They read for 1/4 part of the day. And then 1/4 part of the day, it said they confessed and they worshiped the Lord their God. That's half a day, isn't it? They were serious. They were saying, "God help us. We're in bad shape here." They fasted, they read the word, they prayed, they worshiped, and God moved. But we say just a few little words and a few little prayers, you know, and then we think, "Well, why didn't God move here?" You know, we've got to be serious about this. How important is it to us? I want to start now talking to you about these sexual sins. All sexual sins carry a 10-generational curse, not a third and fourth generation, but a 10-generational curse, which is 400 years. And they also carry a death curse along with them. God has put these things in this book for a purpose. 10 generations. We don't know what happened in our family bloodline 10 generations ago. That is 400 years. So let's see. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 22:13-17. Now, see, marriage is special to God. I don't know how many of us in this room were virgins when we got married, but I would tend to guess that not very many. We were at a church one time, and they were condemning people that were divorced. And I told them, I said, let me ask you a question. I said, you say divorced people can't do anything here in your church, but I said, you know, my God is a forgiving God. Divorce is wrong, I understand that, but He is a forgiving God. And no matter what you do, if you repent and you turn, God forgives. And I said, let me ask you this question. How many of your deacons had premarital sex before they married? And there was just a silence. And I said, did you ask them? And my husband was about to crawl under the chair. You know, but you get my point here? You get my point? See, we have these secret sexual sins that are contaminating our bloodline. We are embarrassed. We are ashamed. We were like our parents. We spell X, S-I-X. But these things, we have to come clean. Because if we don't, it's going to cause us, our bloodline, to be contaminated. We're going to have sicknesses of all kinds. You see, we can hide these little sins from man, and we can just be the proud Christian on Sunday that does all the right things. But God knows our hearts. And we've got to get rid of this garbage and this trash that's in there. All right, God has a plan. And the Israelites, they understood the plan. They understood the importance of being a virgin when you married. Do you know we have teenagers today that they will go out, and some of these teenagers here can tell you this. They come clean and tell you, and guys, you know, you need to talk to us about it. You know, you're not so dumb. You know what's happening. These teenagers, they'll go out, and it's the thing nowadays that they'll perform oral sex, and they'll think they're still okay because they're still virgins. Well, I'm going to show you in a little bit that that's not okay. All right, let's look at Deuteronomy 22:13. It says, now, this is talking about, see, when they got married back then, it was so important that they were a virgin that they had something they called a token cloth. And they spread this cloth underneath the couple of the night of their marriage. And then the couple came and they put the cloth outside and they showed the blood that was on the sheet. And that was an important thing to them. And here's what the scripture says about it. It says, if a man take a wife and go in unto her and hate her, this is after they've been married a while, he decides that he doesn't want her anymore. It says, and give occasions of speech against her and bring up an evil name upon her and say, I took this woman and when I came to her, I found her not a maid. He said, when I married her, she wasn't a virgin. Then shall the father of the damsel and her mother take and bring forth the tokens of the damsel's virginity unto the elders of the city in the gate. See, the parents took that sheet because if it was ever brought up that their daughter was not a virgin, they could bring this sheet out and say, hey, wait a minute, you don't have a leg to stand on. She was a virgin. And then it says, and the damsel's father shall say unto the elders, I gave my daughter unto this man to wife, and he hated her. And lo, he hath given occasion of speech against her, saying, I found not the daughter a maid. And yet these are the tokens of my daughter's virginity, and they shall spread the cloth before the elders of the city. And the elders of that city shall take that man and chastise him. And they shall immerse him in 100 shekels of silver and give them unto the father of the damsel, because he hath brought up an evil name upon the virgin of Israel. And she shall be his wife. He may not put her away all the days. So see, it was important that she be a virgin. But if she wasn't a virgin, this is what would happen. But if this thing be true, and the tokens of virginity be not found for the damsel, then they shall bring out the damsel to the door of the father's house, and the men of the city shall stone her with stones, that she die, because she hath wrought folly in Israel to play the whore in her father's house. So thou shalt put evil away from amongst you. Death curse for not being a virgin. Now, fathers have a responsibility to protect their daughters until they are married. And see, that's what the marriage ceremony is all about. Because in the marriage ceremony, that father shifts his protection over to the husband. And then it says, they will cleave and become one flesh. And that is God's best. And that is what we need to teach our children. Okay? All right. But look at this. Deuteronomy 22:22-30. It says, this is after they've married. If a man be found lying with a woman married to a husband, that is adultery, then they shall both die, death curse. If you've committed adultery and you have not repented and been prayed for, you have a death curse on your life. That means your life can be cut short. There's all kinds of things, all kinds of diseases that you can get from sexual contacts that are not of God. It says, both the man that lie with the woman and the woman, so shall thou put away evil from Israel. If a damsel that is a virgin be betrothed unto a husband, and a man find her in the city and lay with her, then ye shall bring them both out unto the gate of thy city, and ye shall stone them with stones that they die. And the damsel, because she cried not, being in the city, and the man, because he hath humbled his neighbor's wife, so thou shalt put away evil from amongst you. Now, what this is saying, you have a couple here, and she is betrothed to marry someone, but the best friend comes over and they have sex. They both have a death curse on them unless she cries out and says, help me, help me. If she doesn't cry out, then it is still adultery. But if a man found a betrothed damsel in the field and the man force her, that's rape, and lie with her, then the man only that lie with her shall die. You can't help that. If you've been raped, you are a victim, and God does not hold you responsible. If you cry out for help, you are not responsible. Only the person that hurt you is held responsible for that. But unto the damsel thou shalt do nothing. There is in the damsel no sin worthy of death. So if you have been feeling guilty in your life because you have been raped or molested, there's no reason for it. You need to get prayer today. There's plenty of people around here that will pray with you. Get rid of that guilt. Get rid of that shame. Get rid of that embarrassment. You have done nothing wrong. For as when a man rises against his neighbor and slay him, even so it is with this. For he found her in the field, and the betrothed damsel cried, and there was none to save her. If a man find a damsel that is a virgin, which is not betrothed, and lay hold on her and lie with her, and they be found, then the man that lie with her shall give unto the damsel's father 50 shekels of silver, and she shall be his wife, because he has humbled her, and he may not put her away all his days. And a man, okay, now, you know, sometimes we have seen, it says a man has humbled her, a couple that has had sex, and the parents demand that they get married. That's scriptural. This is your scripture right here, because that guy humbled her. Okay, turn to Exodus 22:16-17. And if a man entice a maid that is not betrothed and lie with her, he shall surely endower her to be his wife. There it is again. But it says, if her father utterly refuses to give her unto him, let's say he's just a real rat, and the father just doesn't want his daughter marrying her, the father has that authority to say, no, she's not going to marry you. He shall pay money according to the dowry of virgins. He's still guilty of it, but if the father says, no, I don't want her marrying you, then they don't have to. Because remember, the father is still over the girl until they are married. Look at Deuteronomy 23, verse 2. Now, Deuteronomy 23, verse 2. This is one of the curses that comes on you, and it is a 10-generational curse. And some of you may fall under this curse. But again, I encourage you that these curses last 400 years, and you don't know what happened in your ancestry 400 years. If you haven't had this curse prayed off of you, it needs to be done. It says, a bastard is an illegitimate child, a child born out of wedlock, shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to his 10th generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Now, if you've been having problems with church hopping, that you just go to this church and you go to that church and you never feel like you belong, and if you have ever had the inability, you just don't feel at home anywhere, it's a possibility, a big possibility, that you have this bastard curse on you, because you should always feel at home in the midst of Christian fellowship, and you should have a church home that you feel at home in. So that is an indication, because see, an illegitimate child was born out of wedlock. Well, that's why you feel that way, like when you're hopping around here and you're hopping around there, you don't feel settled. Okay, another biggie. Look at Genesis 38, verses 6 through 11. Now, this is another sexual sin that a lot of times people don't think of as being sexual sins. They think they can do this and relieve themselves and be okay, but it's not okay. It's not okay according to God's Word. And it says in 38, 6 through 11... This is talking about Judah. It says, and Judah took a wife for Er, his firstborn, whose name was Tamar. And Er, Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord slew him. Did you ever wonder why God slew this man? Well, let's see. Let's read a little bit further. And Judah said unto Oren, go in unto thy brother's wife and marry her, and raise up seed to thy brother. And Oren knew that the seed should not be his. And it came to pass when he went into his brother's wife that he spilled it on the ground. Masturbation. His brother had already died of it. Death curse. Lest that he should give seed unto his brother. And the thing which he did displeased the Lord, wherefore he slew him also, died again because of masturbation. Then said Judah to Tamar, his daughter-in-law, remain a widow at thy father's house till Shiloh, my son, is grown. For he said, lest peradventure he die also, as his brothers did. And Tamar went and dwelt in her father's house. Now there's more to this story, but the point I want to make, if you see, the father knew his sons. He knew what they were capable of doing, and he had already lost two sons to death because of masturbation, and he didn't want to lose the third son. So if you have a problem with this, I encourage you to take care of it today. Leviticus 18:14 through 18. Now, there's a lot about this in the Bible, and this is called incest. And incest is when you have sex with any member of your family. And here's one scripture for you on it. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's brother. Thou shalt not approach his wife. She is thy aunt. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy daughter-in-law. She is thy son's wife. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. That tells you right there, you cannot have sex with your aunt or your daughter-in-law. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife, for it is thy brother's nakedness. That would be your sister-in-law. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter. There's a lot of people that have sex with the woman, and then they turn around and they also have it with the child. Neither shall thou take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness, for they are her next of kin. It is wickedness. Neither shall thou take a wife to her sister to vex her, to uncover her nakedness, besides the other in her lifetime. You don't take a woman and her sister as long as they're both alive. Okay, there's more verses on incest. If you turn to Leviticus 20:14, and if a man take a wife and her mother, it is wickedness. They shall be burnt with fire, both he and they, that there be no wickedness among you. 17 says, and if a man shall take his sister, his father's daughter, or his mother's daughter, and see her nakedness, and she see his nakedness, it is a wicked thing, and they shall be cut off in the sight of their people. He hath uncovered his sister's nakedness. He shall bear his iniquity. And then we have 19 through 21. And thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, nor thy father's sister, for he uncovers his next kin. They shall bear their iniquity. Have you ever wondered why sometimes people are barren, that they don't have children? The next two verses tell us this. It's because of incest in their bloodline a lot of times. It says, if a man shall lie with his uncle's wife, he hath uncovered his uncle's nakedness. They shall bear their sin. They shall die childless. And if a man shall take his brother's wife, it is an unclean thing. He hath uncovered his brother's nakedness. They shall be childless. So, if you're having trouble having a baby, you might consider the curse of incest in your bloodline or in your own life. I'm not saying that's the only reason, but the scripture tells me right here that that could be one of the reasons that you're having problems. Where did all this incest come from? Look at Genesis 19, verse 36. You remember back in Genesis, Lot and his daughters, they felt like that they might not ever meet any men, and their father was getting old. And so they decided that their father, that they would go into him at night and that they would have a child by him. It was Genesis 19:36 through 38, and it says, thou were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. The firstborn bore a son and called his name Moab. Moab means son of my father. The same is the father of the Moabites until this day. And the younger, she also bare a son and called his name Benjamin. The same is the father of the children of Ammon until this day. And Ammon means inbred. Now, abortion comes out of incest. It was the Ammons that worshipped a god called Molech. And Molech was this statue that had an ox head and it had human hands. And it was burned from the inside out. And what these people would do, they would come and lay their babies on the arms of this statue, and it would just slowly burn. And so that the parents couldn't hear the burning of their babies, the priest played drums to drown out the cries of the babies. And so this was done with the Ammons. And you see it comes out of an ancestral incest type situation. So I wanted to point that out. Now, if you ever need, when you're speaking of abortion and you need scriptures on it, if you'll turn to Leviticus 18, chapter 21, and it says, and thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire of Molech, neither shall thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. And so God tells us right there that abortion is not right in his sight. Look at another scripture that talks about abortion, Deuteronomy 27:25. It says, "Cursed be he that taketh reward to slay an innocent person." And all the people said, "Amen." Okay, that is also murder, but abortion is murder. Okay, one more. Turn to Proverbs 24:11-12. Alright, Proverbs 24:11-12 says, "If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, Behold, we knew it not, doth not he that ponder the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, does not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works?" Well, what this is telling you is, anyone that is involved in abortion, there is a judgment that will come to that person. In other words, you might not be the lady that had the abortion, but you might be the doctor that performed it. And we prayed for someone just recently that had even been a carpenter and built an abortion clinic and didn't know it at the time. And the abortion spirit manifest in him. So you need to consider those kind of things. You don't necessarily have to have it yourself, but you can, any way that you're involved in it. You might have been a nurse that was there. You might have been the husband that gave the consent to your wife. You're all guilty. And this scripture here says that. Let's read it again. "If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, Behold, we knew it not, doth not he that ponder the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, does not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works?" Okay, now turn to Hebrews 13. And I really want to you to consider this as married couples, and we have some in here. I guess it would apply to other people, but, you know, we've already established in God's Word that He is for marriage and for us to become one in Him. And I have heard this scripture quoted wrong so many years that the Lord has just lays it on my heart to discuss it when I talk about sexual sins. Hebrews 13:4. And the thing that prompted me, I had a friend to come over one time and ask for prayer. And she was asking me about this scripture. And it says, "Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled." And she told me, she said, "My pastor told me that what that means is that when you're married, anything goes in the bedroom." And pastors are teaching this out there, but that is absolutely not true. And so I explained to her that that is not what that scripture means at all. And this is what it means. We're going to stay on this scripture for some time here so that we understand this and get this in our heart. Marriage is honorable in all. I didn't say in part. It's honorable in all. We are one in the Lord. We are one flesh. We are cleaved together. We're so close to each other that we're one person. When our spouse hurts, we should hurt. But see, we have built up walls between our spouse. Sometimes there's so much unforgiveness and so many walls built up. And we have to chop those walls down so that our marriages can be strong and in what God wants them to be. And it says, "And the bed undefiled." Now, undefiled means that it is to be pure and it's to be unsoiled. So that means there's no kinky sex going on in that bedroom behind closed doors. It says, "But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge." Well, let's see. Let's take adultery first.
And let's examine what that means. Most of us know what that means, actually. It means unfaithful, extra marital sex, unlawful intercourse with the spouse of another. That means when we're unfaithful to our husband or our wife. And if you look at Proverbs 9:13-18, you know, sometimes people in marriages have these extra sexual relationships, and they think nobody knows about it. They think that they're keeping it secret. Proverbs 9:13-18, and that says, "A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knowing nothing, for she sits at the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city to call passengers who go right on their way. Whoso is simple..." Now, in other words, there's the prostitute sitting out there. There's the luring woman that is luring the man. And it says, "Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, stolen waters are sweet." And that's what she is. She's a stolen water. She's not the water that God gave you. Your wife is that water, that sweet water. She's a stolen water. "And bread eateth in secret is pleasant, but he knoweth not that death are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell." I think that says it without saying anything. It says in Ephesians 5:31, "A man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh." And it says in 1 Corinthians 6:16, and you don't have to turn to these, "Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two," he said, "shall become one flesh." Now, here's what you don't understand. When you commit adultery in your marriage, you form an evil soul tie with that lady or with that man. Part of your soul. See, when you're married to your wife, your soul becomes one. But when every sexual act you have committed from the time you were born, part of your soul has gone out to that person, and part of their soul comes into you. We have prayed with people before. That one lady came over, and she came over at 5 o'clock, and we prayed with her till 12, but for the first 2 hours, all we did was break soul ties with everyone that she had sex with, because she couldn't love her husband. Because her soul was scattered out there in all directions. Now, what does the 23rd Psalm say? It says, "Restoreth my soul." And so that's what we did that night. And so if you're having problems loving your spouse, it may be that you have never had all these soul ties broken. And I'll tell you what, my husband and I, we don't usually just say we break every soul tie between you and everyone you've had sex with. We do it with every single person, one by one. Because it's sort of like saying, "I repent of all my sins, dear Lord." But you've got to take those sins one by one by one. And it's the same with this. And you know, you might say, "Well, gosh, that takes a long time." Yes, it does. But aren't you worth it? Amen. And God thinks so. And so that's what you have to do. If you've committed adultery, if you've committed fornication, any kind of sexual act at all those soul ties have to be broken with each person that you have had sex with. Now, turn to Proverbs 6:32-33. And it says, "But whosoever committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doth it destroyeth his own soul." You see what I'm saying? Because your soul goes out there. And you just lose so much of your soul, you just can't love. So we have to recall back our soul. The Lord restores our soul, and then we're able to love that spouse as a way that we should love them. Okay, so that takes care of the part of, and I hope you held your finger. I should have told you in Hebrews 12:4 because we're still on that. Let's see. I didn't hold my finger, did I? Okay. Hebrews 12. Was it? No, it was 13:4. Excuse me. Okay, so we see that adulterers, God will judge. Now, what are whoremongers? Oh, and before I leave this part about the adultery, there's one thing I want to say. Not only do you suffer because you're always in fear of wanting to be found out, there's always your soul, you just can't love, but your spouse, you know, they go through a lot too. It's when it does a lot to your marriage. There's a wound of rejection there and a wound of betrayal by your spouse. And so, see, Satan just gets in, and he just really does the work. So it's not worth it. Okay, whoremongers. What does that mean? Well, if you look it up, it says a whoremonger is a male prostitute. It's a fornicator. Okay. Fornication, a lot of times we think about it's just having sex before we're married. But fornication is a broad term, and it means a lot of things. It's one who has intercourse with a prostitute. It is homosexuality, and it is every kind of illicit sexual intercourse, including sodomy. All right, what is sodomy? Okay, this is what this is. When I looked it up, it said, it is carnal copulation with a member of the same sex. Okay, if we have member with the same sex, that's homosexuality. Or it can be with an animal. That's beastology. Or it can be unnatural carnal copulation with a member of the opposite sex. Now, first of all, with the homosexuality issue at hand and the lesbians, I want to give you scripture so that you will have it, because I believe that you probably will be confronted with these issues in the near future. So turn to Leviticus 20:13. It says, if a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, they shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be required of them. You see the death curse again. Okay. Leviticus 18:22 is close, so just turn a page over. It says, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. And now, that takes care of the homosexuality. Yes. The last one was Leviticus 18:22. Alright, so part of a whoremonger is homosexuality. Well, you say to me, you say, how are my wife and I going to perform homosexuality in our bedroom according to Hebrews 13:4? Right? Because it says whoremongers will be judged. And it says the marriage bed is to be holy and undefiled. The way that you do this, and people don't understand this, is when you perform oral sex and anal sex, you open the door in your bloodline for homosexuality. Think about it. How do homosexualities make love? They cannot do it the natural way that God intended for husband and wife to make love. So they do it by oral sex, and we have actually known people that have performed oral sex that they have lost all their teeth, because your mouth is not made for that purpose. We have known people that with anal sex have had all kinds of disorders in their colon and their intestines, because prostate cancer, because it's not meant, your colon is not meant for that. God did not mean it for that. So you know, if you end up in the bloodline and there's a homosexual or a lesbian that appears and you say, I don't know how that happened, think back what you did in your bedroom. You opened the door to this. Okay, so now then, we see how that with the same sex, we see how that with the opposite sex, that you can do kinky, perverted things in that bedroom that are going to open you up. The other thing is with an animal. Now, this sounds really bad, but some of you guys know that maybe when you were younger, you might have lived on a farm, and some of these things you might have done. Another thing that people don't think about, if you'll turn to Colossians 3, and this goes along with this, Colossians 3, 5 through 6. And I'm going to read just part of this. It says, mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. And it talks about some other things in there, but you see the word inordinate affection. It says, this is idolatry, and which things sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. Now, what is inordinate affection? Well, one form of it, and the form I'm going to talk about today, it means to suffer. That's what the word means. And have you ever seen people that have more affection for their little dog or their lovely cat than they do their spouse? And they'll say, oh, this is just our baby. You know what I'm saying? And, oh, my little poopsie here or whatever. And they just cuddle that little dog and they'll sleep with that dog. They have more affection for that animal than they do their own spouse. This is called inordinate affections. Now, if this thing gets way out of hand, and you know why people do that? Because they're not getting that attention from that spouse that they would like to get most of the time. And so they just put all their love in that, or they're mad at their spouse. You see? And so they have a substitute with this little dog or this little cat. Now, when this thing becomes full bloom, it turns into beastology. Okay. Look at Leviticus 20, 15 and 16. And I'll tell you right now, we have cast animal spirits out of people. We have had to call their soul out of that pet dog or that pet cat. It's there. Okay. Leviticus 20, 15 and 16. And if a man lie with a beast, he shall surely be put to death. See the death curse? And ye shall slay the beast. And if a woman approach upon any beast and lie down thereto, thou shalt kill the woman and the beast, and they shall surely be put to death, their blood shall be upon them. And I want to say this now. See, these are a lot of what these pornography movies are about. They have a lot of beastology in these movies. And you might say, well, I've never done that. Well, if you've looked at these magazines, these women magazines, or you've seen these videos, let me tell you what God says about that. First of all, porno means prostitute, and graphy means writing. So pornography is the writing of the prostitute. And here's what happens. It says, pornography opens the doors for dreams to enter through the eye gate. Do you remember that in Matthew 5:27 that Christ said, whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart? Okay, it's that eye gate. You've got to protect that eye gate. And in Job 31:1, it says, I made a covenant with mine eyes. You've got to make a covenant with your eyes. You've got to make up your mind, I'm not going to look upon that stuff. Because it opens me up for things. You know, if you see a nice woman walking down the street, or women, if you see a man and you start fantasizing about that man, think, ooh, he has a nice bottom there, you know. Well, hey, something's wrong with your eye gate. That's a sign for you there that you need prayer. You need deliverance. Okay. The demonic principality that rules over pornography is the spirit of immorality, which is linked with the perverse spirit. So those of you that work in deliverance, that would help you there. Now, look at Judges 16. Yes, that's what I said. Okay, Judges 16:16. You know, these examples in the Old Testament are for us. And the Lord had showed me this one time when praying for this lady. This is the spirit of Delilah. And it says here, 16:16, it says, "And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart and said unto her, There hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I had been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I had shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man." Look at 19. "And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went out from him." Look at 21. "But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house." His eyes, his eye gates were ruined, and this lady just flirted around. Have you ever seen a woman that just entices you with that little smile and just knows how to flirt around and everything? This is a Delilah spirit. And she enticed him, and his eye gates were just gone, and he ended up in what? Prison, in demonic depression. That's right. Okay, Genesis 6. I know I'm giving you lots of scripture today. I understand that. But you know, when I was growing up, if my parents were able to do this for me and could answer my questions about these sexual relationships, it would have sure been a big help. And you know, that's what we need to do. That's what we need to do here with these children and grandchildren. That's the purpose of this. It will give you, and in your own life, that you will see things that need to be prayed off so that you can clean your bloodline up. Okay, in Genesis 6, 1 and 2, okay, this says, "And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them for wives of all which they chose." Now, here's what I want to tell you about next. At nighttime, if you have sexual dreams, these are spirits that are coming to you to steal your relationship between you and your wife. Because after you have a sexual dream and you're satisfied, then you have no need for your spouse. You can look this up in the dictionary. The spirit that comes to a woman is called an incubus spirit. And it will say in the dictionary, an evil spirit that takes on male form in order to have sex with a woman. Now, in your dream, you might even be making love with your husband. You might be fantasizing. You might be making love with some movie star. And some of you in here know what I'm talking about. For men, it is called a succubus spirit. And it says in the dictionary, an evil spirit that takes on female form in order to have sex with men. I looked up on the internet recently because at one place we were speaking, a lady, she said, "Oh my," she said, "there is a group, a rock group called Incubus." And she said, that was one of her favorite groups. And sure enough, that is true. There is a group called Incubus, and there's also one called the Succubus group. That's just for your own information. But you see how Satan gets it out there? You see? All right. What I do want to say to you today, this teaching was not to condemn, but it was to inform. And the scripture tells us, it says, "He that Christ has redeemed us from the curse," that's why he died, "of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." So, what I want us to do today is to break these curses to get rid of these things in our bloodlines so that we can have a pure and clean bloodline coming forth in our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren and so on. Because in Proverbs 26:2, it also says, as the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. And what that is saying, if you don't have any openings, then things won't affect your bloodline and won't affect you. So we want to get rid of these things. You know, so you're a homosexual today. You don't have to leave here being one. So you have dreams that come to you in incubus and succubus. You don't have to leave here today with those dreams. Let's say you've had an affair and your spouse doesn't know it or whatever. You don't have to leave here today being an adulteress or a fornicator or a whoremonger or any of these things. That's why Christ died. And that's our hope. And so what I'm going to do now, because this is the deliverance service, I'm going to pray, and we're going to cast out these demons. And Fern, if you would help us, please, and Brother Landry back there, and Tom, and I guess Glenn and Doc aren't in here. Patty, you're here. Cheryl, if you see somebody that the Lord puts on your heart to go to, if they start manifesting, if you guys will please help. I appreciate it. If you need more ministry after the service, we will be free. Some of us will be free until 7 o'clock, and we'll be glad to pray with you. Okay. Dear Lord God, we just come to you, Lord, this day. God, I just ask that your word that was taught, Lord, that it go forth, Lord, and that it convict hearts, Lord, unto repentance, Lord. And God, we just ask, Lord, that you set us, your people, free this day of these sexual sins, Lord. I break these sexual sins in our bloodline right now in the name of Jesus. I break it all the way back to Adam and Eve on the father's side. I break it all the way back to Adam and Eve on the mother's side in the name of Jesus. I break that curse of incest right now over these people in the name of Jesus. I break it. I break it all the way back on the father's side to Adam and Eve. I break it all the way back on the mother's side to Adam and Eve. I call it null and void in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I break the curse of the bastard in the name of Jesus, all illegitimate children that was born on our bloodline. In the name of Jesus, I break it on the father's side all the way back to Adam and Eve. I break it all the way back on the mother's side to Adam and Eve in the name of Jesus. And if you feel these coming off of you, you've got to cough. Sometimes you've got to bring these things out. They're not going to want to come out on their own. Someone will bring you a paper towel. You just go for it. Let's get it out. I break the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the fantasy lust in the name of Jesus. I break the incubus spirit that comes tonight to these women in the name of Jesus. I break that spirit off of them in the name of Jesus. I break the succubus spirit off of them, off of the men in the name of Jesus, and all these spirits that come to them tonight, at night, to steal a relationship between them and their wives. I break that off of them right now in the name of Jesus. I break all spirits of masturbation right now in these women and these men in the name of Jesus. I break it. I break it. I break the spirit of fornication right now in the name of Jesus. All illicit sex acts in the name of Jesus. All premarital sex in the name of Jesus. I break adultery off these people in the name of Jesus. I break all secret sins in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I break all common law marriages, all shacking up in the name of Jesus. I break these relationships that have no covenant and are without legal sanction in the name of Jesus. I break it. I break it. I break harlotry off of these people and prostitution and slut and whore in the name of Jesus. I break these spirits off of them. I break off rape. I break off date rape. I break off gang rape in the name of Jesus. I break all violations of any kind off these people in the name of Jesus. I break off nakedness and immodesty in the name of Jesus off of them. All indecent exposure In the name of Jesus, I break it off. I break off all pride. All pride right now in the name of Jesus. I break it off of us, Lord. Come, God, with your hook. And I call that that king of Leviathan come off of us now, Lord. All the shame and all the guilt and all the hopelessness and the despair and what other people might think if they see this coming off of me. Oh, Lord, I'm supposed to be a deacon and a preacher and a prophet and a prophetess and all this. And, oh, God, if they see this coming off, they're not going to be happy as me. I'm going to be found out. I break those spirits off. I break it off. Who cares? Nobody cares. Everybody doesn't care, so let's get them out of there. Amen. I break all petting off, all dating, all petting that was done before marriage. I break those spirits off. All fondling. I break that spirit of fondling and molestation off of you in the name of Jesus and off of your bloodline. In the name of Jesus, all lewdness, I break it off in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All homosexuality that's come through our bedrooms and sodomy and abusers of self with mankind, all of these spirits, I break it off in the name of Jesus. I break off all oral sex in the name of Jesus. All oral sex acts, all anal sex acts. I break it off. I break it off and command them to loose these people in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All catamites in the name of Jesus, all people that were put aside for, all boys put aside for homosexual acts by priests and other people, I break it in the name of Jesus. All lesbianism, all masculine women and those spirits, I break it off in Jesus' name. All transvestites in the name of Jesus, I break it off. I break it off. All pornography in the name of Jesus, all written, all videos, all internet porno, all magazines, all books, all pictures, all child pornography, everything that has opened our eye gates to this material, I break it in the name of Jesus. I break it. All peeping Tom spirits in the name of Jesus. All perversion spirits in the name of Jesus. All television shows, everything that has come through the television that has entered our eye gates, I break that off of us in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Everything that we have heard, everything that we have touched, in the name of Jesus, I break it off. Anything that has been unclean, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I break all over desires for sexual gratification off in the name of Jesus. All abnormal sex in the name of Jesus. Just can't get enough. I break that off in the name of Jesus. All inordinate affections for animals. I break that in the name of Jesus. I break it off where dogs are concerned and cats are concerned and rabbits for some reason. I break rabbits off in the name of Jesus. Any animal that is thought of to be put above their spouse, I break it off in the name of Jesus. All beastology, all curses of beastology, I break that off in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. All frigidness, I break off all frigidness between husbands and wives in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. All impotency, in the name of Jesus, I break it off, I break it off. All barrenness, come off in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, all oversexed, all undersexed, in the name of Jesus, I break it off, I break it off. All sex orgies and satanic rituals and occult sex, I break it off in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. I come against the spirit of Moloch in the name of Jesus. I break off the spirit of abortion and murder and child sacrifice in the name of Jesus. I break it off, I break it off. I break it off the bloodline in the name of Jesus, all the way back to Adam and Eve, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. All obscenity, all vulgar speech, all blasphemy, all profanity, all dirty talk, in the name of Jesus, I break it in the name of Jesus. I break off all venereal diseases in the name of Jesus. All guilt, all condemnation, all shame, all embarrassment, all self-hatred, all fears, fears of God's judgment, fears of being exposed, fears of AIDS, syphilis, gonorrhea, herpes and other venereal diseases. I pray it off your bloodline in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. HIV, I call it off in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Dear Lord, just continue to do your work in this area, Lord. Help us, God, to teach our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. Help us to step up to the plate as a church and as parents and grandparents, Lord, to teach these right sexual relationships that God expects us to do, Lord, and to be able to answer questions, Lord, after this day to our offspring. And we thank you, God. We thank you, Lord, for your deliverance. I break the curse of divorce over these people. In the name of Jesus, I break it. I break it. I break it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I speak life. I speak health. I speak oneness in marriage. In the way that God intends it to be, in the name of Jesus. I bind all backlash, retaliation. I bind the spirit of nemesis, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Okay.
Lord, just impressed on me to break the spirit of the whore's forehead. This is where a father has molested his daughter. I break it by the power and authority of Jesus Christ. I command it to become loose. Right now, I set these people free by the power and authority of Jesus Christ. All the way back to Adam and Eve right now in the name of Jesus. I break it and command it to become loose. And they become lovers of flesh and lovers of flesh and other than lovers of God. I break this spirit by the power and authority of Jesus Christ. I break it all the way through the bloodline right now in the name of Jesus. All the way until Christ comes again. I break it by the power and authority of Jesus Christ. I set these people free in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. It works on the females and it works on males the same way. In the mighty name of Jesus. I come against it by the power and authority of Jesus Christ. I command it to come loose right now in Jesus' name. I set these people free by the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Because Christ came to become that curse and to set us free. He said, set the captive free. And a lot of people have been captive for a long time. We ministered to a lady one time, and she's 62 years old. Her father molested her. She conceived and had to give a child away at the age of 13. And that lady was in captivity until she was 60-some years old. And when God ministered to her, she was able to smile, to laugh, and to come free. And I'm telling you what, these spirits that my wife has talked about, they are real. And they're the spirits of every minister that gets behind this pulpit that ministers the spirits, they are real. They're not to be messed around with. And all the way through, this is why Christ came and the blood was shed, was to apply to these sins that we come free in Jesus' name. And yes, I sound serious, and I am serious. And I'm not mad at you, but I am mad at Satan. Because he came to mess us around. You know, DNA has been changed through your vegetables. He tried to change the DNA all the way through. That's the reason why the Noah, the flood, came. Because the DNA was changed. And we need to come back to the true bloodline. The true bloodline of Jesus Christ. You need to be manifested in the sons of the living God.
Amen.
That we have the power and authority to speak to these things. That we know who we are in Christ. And I want you to know who you are in Christ Jesus before you leave this place. And I believe every minister that stands behind this pulpit believes that we need to know who we are in Jesus Christ. That we come free. And yes, these little ones up here, they're precious in the Lord's sight. But yet they haven't been through some of the things we have, but yet their ancestors have. And some people may think it's wrong because these little ones are here. It's right in Jesus' name. Because we need to know and they need to know. Because they're here and their parents are not here. Somebody needs to tell them. Lord God, I was caught. And everybody else in here could raise their hand and say they were caught because they didn't know in some areas. And I tell you what, you know, I get to preaching and I want to say, God loves you. And we love you. And just like my wife said, you know, if you need further ministry, we're going to be around. Because God wants you free. God wants you to go home free, clear, of sound mind. Because it brings, you know, she didn't mention it, but the spirit between animal and human being, it brings on the spirit of confusion. You got a lot of confusion in your family? The spirit I was just talking about, incest, it brings on insanity. You got a lot of you got insanity in your family? Guess what? Something visited your family back there. Something visited. It was not God, but it was an evil spirit. And this, and these animal spirits, I'm telling you, they're not to be fooled with, because it starts out very innocently, but it will steal your mind. It will steal your children's mind. It will steal your grandchildren's mind. It will steal your whole generation. And folks, you got a great generation in your loins, because the older ones already know how many grandchildren you have. You may not have a child yet, but yet you've got a whole generation in your loins. In Jesus' name. And anybody needs further ministry, Brother Landry, Sister Fern, myself, and Diane, be glad to minister with you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.